Well, certainly you can make the case. Wall Street has been like a roller coaster the last couple of weeks. Part of a spotlight segment many this morning, and all featuring what is happening between Wall and Broad. Craig Ferrantino, certified wealth strategist, president of Craig James Financial Services. Always great to have him on. Craig, how are you?
Yeah, Jay, how are you?
I'm doing okay. And, you know, from the other day when the Dow was down at one time 700 plus, rebounded to about minus 459. It was a nice rebound, really key word here, yesterday when it hit around 390 points on the positive side for a change, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of seesawing back and forth here. The futures this morning, for your reader, listeners, down about 541 points on the Dow. And, you know, I think it's looking pretty tough for a week that a lot of people are on vacation.
And, of course, you know, you look at these tariff threats, Craig. U.S. and China exchanging more of these yesterday with the Trump administration proposing a tariff increase on $50 billion worth of Chinese goods. China vowing to enact its own tariffs and the quote of the same strength and same scope, as they put it, against U.S. goods. So, you know, this type of stuff, you know, it never equates to good things when it comes to the Dow Jones.
The China is really, you know, a couple of things here is that it's a back and forth that's going on between China and the United States. They have tariffs. They just announced tariffs on $50 billion worth of goods. So for your, you know, listeners, if I'm Coca-Cola and I sell, you know, the average Chinese citizen drinks four Cokes a year, if they drink five Cokes a year, that's a big number to the bottom line of Coca-Cola. But if they put a tax on that, the people may not drink five Coca-Colas a year, you know, five cans of soda. They may drink less or think more about it or maybe not buy it. So just the loss of, you know, a billion times one a year is a tremendous loss to the company. And that's why you're starting to see this volatility hitting, because a lot of the U.S. companies are relying on the current trade policies that we have. Now, the president feels that they're unfair, and he could be right, but there's this, you know, in the meantime, between this back and forth, I think you're going to see a lot of volatility here.
No doubt about it. Talking with Craig Ferrantino. Craig James, of course, financial, one of the best in the business, and we'll talk about that in a second. And, you know, Craig, when I look at these tariff threats, both sides, you know, I'm looking in yesterday's announcement between the U.S. Trade Representative's office about the products targeted for tariff hikes benefit from Chinese policies, including requiring foreign companies to share some of the technology with local partners in China. Of course, these latest actions from Washington and Beijing, again, after China announced it was imposing tariffs on 128 types of U.S. imports in response to the president's recently announced tariffs on China. And again, we all remember before that, Donald Trump imposing tariffs on imported steel and aluminum. So, in essence, what good can come out of this? You know, the only thing I see is the two economic powers really kind of coming together as one, maybe. Although it might be difficult to kind of foresee that, but certainly that will have some pretty good effects on the economy if it ever does come to fruition.
Yeah, again, things got really, you know, let's go back a couple years. Things got really cheap, and Chinese bought a lot of our goods. And what happened was, you don't have to drive too far from Long Island. You know, a lot of communities in upstate New York and in Pennsylvania, and you go to Ohio, West Virginia, started to dry up. And the economy, they started losing some of their basic jobs. And nobody complained then. The people that did complain were in, you know, less populated areas because they were losing their jobs. So what I think is you're getting a realignment of the trade policies globally, not just with China. China's being a big player. We did one with South Korea already. South Korea, so companies are buying steel from South Korea. So Now on the negotiation point, you know, I think that the president's very good at, you know, throwing the hammer down and then softening after that. And I think you saw that with Canada, you saw that with Mexico, where that, you know, he had these ideas and then blah, 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 and then somehow they came to an agreement and that was all part of the negotiation. With China, I think the whole deal with North Korea was important, and so it kind of delayed for a year, but they were able to get North Korea to come to the table. And but these trade deals still have to be realigned. And, you know, the Americans are people, really investors are kind of caught in the in this crossfire. Things will work out and they will settle down, but these are the opening salvos. So you really have to sit here and hold on, or if you want, for my clients, down 10% from the high, we take a profit. That's all. We just lock in the profits there and prevent any further deterioration of the portfolio, because we don't want to give up the last year and a few months of a very good Trump rally, we'll call it. And so we want to start to take profits here and sit on the sidelines until this whole thing settles out. And it will settle out, but this is all generated, I think, by Washington and some of the changes in how we deal with other countries. And of course, it would affect our local, some companies like Boeing and the companies that I mentioned here, because it's all going to be thrown into the mix.
No question. Craig Ferrantino, Craig James Financial. And, you know, you talk about the back and forth, even as we spoke about a 700-point drop the other day, Craig, ending minus 459 on Monday. But in essence, the back and forth with the president and Amazon and Bezos, Jeff Bezos, you know, you saw volatility in the markets then. Markets don't like to see that type of unrest. There's no question about it. What was your reaction? The whole thing with Amazon, they dropped its stock. You know, you got a lot of back and forth with Facebook over the last couple of weeks. Apple getting into the fray. I mean, it's a real back and forth here. But the one thing about we've learned from this president, he's not going to back down. He's going to say what's on his mind here.
Yes, that's an excellent point, too. So the Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, and you could probably throw a few more in this tech rally that we've had, basically stocks that have been keep going up and they keep taking acquiring other companies and this and that. I think that, the president has some points. And so it is. I was in a mall yesterday. It was kind of quiet. You know, maybe everybody's on vacation, but you just kind of in the back of your head said, you know, there's a lot less people shopping, and that translates to jobs, you know, locally anyway. And again, it's all part of this back and forth, and there'll be some sort of happy medium there. But there is his attacks have. He's got a tax that a lot of people agree with, and so a lot of Americans agree with, and they do feel that he's stealing business and closing mom-and-pop stores. There's an article in the New York Post last week that 20% of the storefronts in Manhattan are empty. The rents went so high that the only people that could go into those stores are major national chains who have huge capital. It's trying to shift things back to the mom and pop, to the people that want to start a business and be profitable and be in a good location and things like that. And I think that's you're starting to see a little bit shift that way again. So it's interesting. It's going to take time. Nothing happens overnight. But the markets are going to be affected in the meantime. And I think that's what we're going through right now. And I think this is going to be this way for at least another month or two. So you just got to really put your seatbelts on here and put a helmet on if you're driving and you're going to stay in, or have some sort of exit strategy for clients to, you know, sort of start to lock in some of their profits. We invest not to hold things the rest of our lives, but we invest to make money. I always have to tell our clients, or when I speak at a presentation somewhere, that we're investing to hold money. And I actually have people write that down. Why are we investing? We're investing to hold money. If you have a profit, okay. It's got to be a time when you take a gain, and you don't have a profit until you actually sell that investment. And so right. That's involves some discipline without emotion. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jay.
No question. What about those with IRAs? We understand those with IRAs maybe to be somewhat concerned, especially after the events on Monday. Any points regarding those who have real serious concerns here?
You know, the retirement accounts, I would start to dial down the risk if you have a high risk relative to the market or equal risk relative to the market, meaning like an index. I would certainly be, again, dialing down the risk of moving more to safer territory for now. And, we're playing a game, and we're playing offense for the last 14 months, and it's time to put the defensive players on the field, and the defensive players might be, fixed accounts or if you're in a 401k or something like that, or bonds or global bond funds or something like that, so as to start to put the defensive players on the field, because I think that you can only play offense for so long, and the Bears have the ball now, so you got to start to do something different.
And Craig, before we let you go, I couldn't help but notice, you know, with Spotify really roaring into the public market yesterday, and maybe, you know, cutting this path to public ownership that, when you think about it, could alter the way companies think about the listing process, maybe quite possibly pose a new threat to a core business on Wall Street. What's your take regarding Spotify and the situation to go public, that very unusual move they executed with this direct listing and foregoing investment banking underwriters, interesting stuff there on Wall Street?
Well, that's the story that they want you to hear, of course. What they do is you cut out, there's a whole distribution process when a stock comes public, and they line up a bunch of firms, and they set out a tombstone, which goes into, like, the Wall Street Journal, and say, oh, so-and-so, J. Oliver's going public, the J. Oliver Corporation's going public, and we got Goldman Sachs behind, we got Merrill Lynch, and by the way, the date that the public offering is going to be this date, and all those involve fees to make the company, to set out the company. So what they did was they wanted to do what's called a Dutch auction, and they kind of just listed it and see what the demand would be without lining up major banks. And I don't have a problem with it, but, it's just another thing in how the economy has changed and how we look at, we don't get taxis, we call an Uber and things like that. So this is just one of those things with the sharing economy. They were just willing to share their stock with anybody instead of being some of the elite that might have bought Spotify at $12 and now it's $149. They've just threw it out there on the market. And it's not the only time that other people have done that, too. I think Google did that as well. So, but it always gets a lot of press, and because it does hurt banks, it probably gets some negative press in there as well. But the end result was that it went out very well, and I don't see any problems. It's trade looks like the pre-market's down another 2% or so at 146. But I think that's still very valid, and we'll see where it ends up after a few days if people buy and sell it. See how they trade it.
I'll tell you, very interesting couple of days, what's happening down there between Wall and Broad. Craig Ferrantino, oh, my goodness, certified wealth strategist extraordinaire and president of Craig James Financial Services. Craig, in the business, as you can hear, 28 years plus, and Craig James Financial Services, located right on Broad Hollow Road, 510 Broad Hollow Road, and in Melville, Suite 208. You can call 393-2888, 631 area code, and check it all out online, loyalinvestmentadvisors.com. Always, always a pleasure, Mr. Ferrantino. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Jay. I truly appreciate it.